The third one. Third one. Without the Holy Spirit, we will not be effective in our ministries. Not at all. Not at all. That's the key thing. That is so vital. Okay, turn me the notes to the notes. Today I want to primarily talk about four things. Now I'm going to give you a few response, okay, because I want to, for every session at the end of it, we want to respond to the Holy Spirit. We want to engage Him. We want to cultivate the reality and the relationship with Him. So I want to talk about four things, okay, about the Holy Spirit. The first one is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? I want to primarily focus on just two, actually four, but primarily on two. He as a person, and He who is God. It's very vital because I want to keep emphasizing, because Holy Spirit is more than power. He is a person. He is God. He's not any lesser of a God. He's not like Spirit of God, you know. It's kind of like, yeah, He's God's Spirit. No, He is the Spirit of God, but He is God. And He is a person. It's not just a mere power to be harnessed, but He is a person to be followed. When you have that reality, you will relate with Him totally different. Totally different. R.A. Torrey said this, okay? He's one of the revivalists, okay? He said this. Before one can correctly understand the work of the, which is in your notes, okay? Before one can correctly understand the work of the Holy Spirit, we must first of all know the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And he went on to say this. A frequent source of error and fanaticism about the work of the Holy Spirit is the attempt to study and understand His work without first coming to know Holy Spirit as a person. That's why we make a mistake by we primarily seek the power of the Holy Spirit without learning to cultivate relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. That's the important thing, vital. He is a real person. A lot of time Paul said, commune, fellowship, walk. That means you're walking with a real person. You're not walking with a force. It's not some Star Wars. You're walking with the person. Okay, I'm going to keep saying this statement again. Holy Spirit is more than just power to be harnessed. He's a person to be followed. We have to submit. We have to yield. We have to yield. I mean, let Him lead us. Okay, turn me to Acts chapter 8. I just show you one because I'm going to take some time to run through the book of Acts. Because you read the early church, the book of Acts. I know every time I read the book of Acts, you know, a lot of time I read the book of Acts from different perspectives. You can read the book of Acts from the perspective of prayers. Because you read the book of Acts, early church, every chapter talks about prayer. The book of Acts has 28 chapters. Only one chapter, they don't pray. Not that they don't pray. Didn't mention about prayer. And the book of Acts talk about signs and wonders, all 28 chapters. But the book of Acts, the primary emphasis is the relationship, the intimate relationship and the walk of early believer with the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of time they call it the Acts of Apostle. No, that's wrong. The book of Acts should be entitled the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Just that he happened to use the apostle, those earthen vessels. I know, they're now, ouch, Kei Chong, you are not any better. The book of Acts should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I challenge you to read 28 chapters from the perspective of their relationship with the Holy Spirit, how they commune with the Holy Spirit. Every time I read it, I kind of like jealous. I get provoked because there is that real reality, that relationship, the communion with the Holy Spirit. Like, for example, Peter, he was praying. No, he was praying, then he got hungry, you know. Yeah, obviously he never fast. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, he was praying, then he got hungry. He asked them to prepare food. While they were preparing food, he fell asleep. Then God gave him a trance, a vision. Then after that, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Go right now to the door. Someone is looking for you. If you go to Acts 15, Jerusalem Council, you know, they have a mini crisis, which is a good problem. because Gentiles got saved. They still continue to eat pork chop. So they came together to pray, to talk, to discuss. At the end of the conclusion, you know what James said? James stood up and said this, "It seems good to the Holy Spirit and us." Wow. Now, if we talk like that, people think you are strange, you are weird. It seems good to the Holy Spirit tonight, we should fast. Get thee behind me. You read entire 28 chapters. Where I read it, I said, wow. They know the Holy Spirit firstly as a person. You see, unfortunately, a lot of time we focus on X2, fire, tongues of fire, wind, and so on. These are only the manifestation. These are not him as a person. So I want to talk about who is the Holy Spirit. Second, I'll talk about the name and symbol of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the name and symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to know. Because name tells us who he is and what he does. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, or his name is he's the dove. Okay, it's just a symbol. Holy Spirit is not a bird. Okay. So don't get there. Yeah, it's a bird. No, some people get there. Yeah, I saw the dove come to my window. Today, Holy Spirit visited me. No, don't get there. Okay. The Holy Spirit is inside you. Okay. So these are symbols that we need to understand. Okay. Third one, which is all in your notes, the works of the Holy Spirit, which I'm not going to run through. You can read it on your own. There are at least 40. 40. And the last one that I will give you some important response. Okay. Just three. Okay. Turn to me to the notes. I think it's page one. I'm going to talk about who is the Holy Spirit. Four things. The first one. This is very important. Okay, I'm going to run through again. Show you some scripture, because if we know him as who he is, it's going to determine how we relate with him, how we honor him, how we submit to him. For example, the first one, Holy Spirit is God. Amen? When is the last time we actually worship the Holy Spirit? We don't. Well, silent. We don't. Because we can say the Holy Spirit is God, but actually we don't really think that he's God. Or it doesn't register in our mind. He is God. The moment we sing, we worship you, Holy Spirit. Hey, don't get there, no. He's God. If he's God, you know, why we only worship God the Father, Jesus the Son, we don't worship the Holy Spirit. Because at the back of our mind, a lot of time, we don't really think that he's God. But he's God. Holy Trinity is not Father, Son, and the Holy Book. It's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not saying that the Bible is not important. Don't get me wrong. The Holy Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, I find a time to explain Trinity. Actually, cannot explain one. No, until the cow come home, you cannot understand one. We worship one God. He's three different persons. So we worship three different persons or one God? One God, but three persons. How? I also don't know how. So we go before the throne of God. You see three or you see one God? You see three, but they are one God. So how does that work out? I don't know. Write this verse down. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Bible makes it very clear. There are some mystery of God that belongs to God. We will not know. Don't try to figure it out. There are some mystery of God God wants us to know. That, go and figure it out. That's how I like what John Piper say. When knowledge... I always say knowledge confused. Okay. When knowledge fail, what is next? Worship prevail. That's why we worship God. Because when we see him face to face one day in eternity, man, this is God. I have no idea. I'm totally concussed and confused. I just worship. Ask you another question. Jesus is man or God? No one dare to answer. Both. Son of man, Son of God. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's God or he's man? Both. He's man. He's God. But he's man. Okay? So when he returns, is he God or is he man? Both. But he's God. He's man. Because I think I'm at, Bible says Son of Man. So is he omnipresence or not omnipresence? Can I answer right? I also cannot answer. Just worship. Just worship. Because we cannot figure out one. He's man. If he's man, he shouldn't be omnipresent. If he's God, he's omnipresent. But he's man. And come back, he's man. Because the Bible makes it very clear, son of man. So he's not going to pour, oh, Pakistan, pour, India, pour, Brazil. Are you from Brazil? Oh, okay, good. I hope Spain win. Okay. Well, no. Where am I? Yeah, it comes back. He's a man. So is he omnipresent or is he one place at one time? I don't know. I think I have an idea, but I could be wrong. I just worship. When knowledge fail or confuse, worship prevail. So sometimes we don't try to figure it out too much. We want to get it right, but there'll be something that we don't know. People use to try all kinds of definition to describe Trinity. Use egg, okay? Father is, you know, shell, white egg yolk, or water, you know, vapor, water, ice. But water, vapor, ice cannot exist at one time, right? But Father, Son, Spirit exist together at one time. One person, but three person. No, one God, three person. So it's kind of a little bit illusion, right? Do you see one or you see three? I know it's one, but I saw three. Just worship. That's the key thing. Okay, of course, please get it right theologically. I'm not teaching about loose doctrine and become a cult, okay? So the first one, two essential truths that we need to get it right because it will change our whole perspective and the way that we relate with the Holy Spirit. The first one, Holy Spirit is God. Let's say it together. That's not theological cult or something like that. Jesus says what? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In one breath, he's putting Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all in the same position. It's one God. That means I need to add 11 Friday. I need to find one Friday to teach you why it's Trinity. It's so important for us to understand Trinity. Yeah, no, understand only, you'll be more confused after. It's not my fault, okay? That one, you have a problem, talk to God, okay? It's not my fault. I try my best to communicate only, okay? Even the communicator is a bit confused too, okay? So don't worry about it, okay? If you have no understanding, just know that we worship one God, three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I know, somebody said, so who do I talk to? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We settle that later, okay? If you are talking to the Father, talk to him now. You want to talk to the Son, talk to the Son now. You want to talk to the Holy Spirit, talk to the Holy Spirit. Perfect. You want to talk to God in the name of Jesus, it's fine too. Okay. Yeah. First one. Holy Spirit is God. He's God. He's part of the member of the Godhead of the Holy Trinity. It's not any lesser. Get it? I know there are some people teaches that Father is higher, Jesus is lower, then Holy Spirit is like third division soccer. No, they are same. Just that they have different role and function and personality. Got it? Yeah, they are one. Okay, no, I'm getting you more confused. Okay, yeah. Holy Spirit is God. Okay, he is a member of the divine Trinity. Take me to X. I know Annabelle is thinking, you know, that Boston brain come out. Yeah, X5. Take me to X5. X5. It's interesting. No, there are, even in the Old Testament, just write this down. It's not your notes. Isaiah 11, verse 2. Isaiah 61, verse 11. Old Testament called the Holy Spirit the Lord God. Especially Isaiah 11. The Lord God is very clear. He is God. He is God. Okay, tell me the X5. We are all familiar with X5. Ananias and Sapphira sold off their apartment in Ion's Orchard. So they came to One Thing Ministry, only give 10% of the sales, the revenue that they sold, Ion Orchard. No, this is just my own story. Okay. So they sold their properties. They didn't give the entire amount. And they were struck dead by the Holy Spirit. But you read the entire passage, the book of Acts used the name of the Holy Spirit and God interchangeably. A clear implications and indications that Holy Spirit is God. He's God. Let's read. Acts 5, verse 4. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was so, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to what? God. God. Let's go back to verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Consistently in the Bible makes it very clear whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, Holy Spirit is God. It's not a God or one of the God of the Holy Trinity. He's God. He's God. Okay, I have listed out for you all the attributes of God. It's also in the Holy Spirit. He's eternal. His omnipresence. His omniscience. He's omnipotent. He's God. And if he's God, shouldn't we worship him too? Amen? Amen? I remember in the past, I don't know whether fan probably will remember, there's this song, Father, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you. Glorify thy name. Yeah, then after that, Jesus, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you. Glorify, Lee Fong smile, also no. So all we all same era. Okay. Then third one is Spirit, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, glorify thy name. You know, if Holy Spirit is God, shouldn't we worship him? Amen. We neglected him because of our understanding. We have no issue when we worship the Father. We have no issue when we worship Jesus. But we neglect the Holy Spirit. I think we should write songs that worship Holy Spirit. Let people call us cult, it's fine. We honor him first. He's God. That's the key thing. That's the key thing. And that one application is, that's why later before we end, because one of the things we're going to do is that we're going to take some time, just worship the Holy Spirit. We have to, we should. We have neglected him. He's God. So that's the first one. Second, Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. And the Bible continuously uses the pronouns, he. Let's turn to John 14. I don't really know Greek, okay, so I don't pretend that I know Greek. But if you study John 14, verse 16 and 17, the Gospel of John specifically used the pronouns he to describe the Holy Spirit. If you go into the actual text, you realize that actually there's a huge grammatical error. Because the word he is the word pneuma. Pneuma is supposed to use to describe thing like dog or tree or OHP or whatever. So when you describe maybe I use wrong. Is it called pronouns? He, she, it. Is it called pronouns? Is it? Yeah, okay, my English is not so good, so I'm trying to ask. Because everybody kind of paused, you know, did I say something wrong? Okay, rightfully, if you study John 14, verse 16 and 17, the pronoun is pneuma. Grammatically, in Greek, should be it. It. But the author of the Gospel of John intentionally make that error to use the word he. To emphasize that he is a person. I know now people call their dog he, she, and kind of like sometimes husband become it, you know. Yeah. So I know. Now say some people can't understand. Okay. You understand what I'm talking about? Intentionally make the grammatical error to emphasize a point that he is a person. He is a person. Let's read John 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. That what? What's the next one? He rightfully should be it. But he used the word he may abide with you forever. Intentionally use the word he to emphasize that he is a person. He's a person. Okay, I have no time to run through it because it's very interesting. Even when Jesus said, I will send you another helper. You know, the word another helper is very interesting because basically Jesus says that he's the same nature as me. Jesus is a person, isn't it? Another helper is the same, yet is different. He is the person. I know you're confused, Vanessa. Don't worry. Yeah, because it's smart. Okay. So primarily, the key thing is that he is a person. I list down for you. Go and read it on your own. There are many acts of the Holy Spirit that speaks very clearly that he is a person. He speaks to us. He helps us. He prays for us. Force don't pray for us. Power don't pray for us. Neither does power talk to us. You know? But I don't know when's the last time electricity talked to me. Battery. Change battery, change battery. No. They don't. But there are enough acts of the Holy Spirit that tell us. He guides us. I know, yeah, GPS. No. He guides us. Basically, the word means he holds the hand and moves you along. The book of Ezekiel has a very powerful illustration. Basically, the Spirit of God took hold of Ezekiel's hair and bring him around. You know, I say, Holy Spirit, don't do that for me. I don't have much. You know. So there's not much grip. Yeah. He guides us. He comforts us. He is a person. Okay. Then you read the next one. He has all the attribute of a person. He has a mind. He can be grieved. He is a person. So, if Holy Spirit is a person, what does that mean? That means we have to learn to relate with him. Not just when we need power or anointing, when we are about to lead worship or prayer or do some ministry. Anoint me, O Holy Spirit. No, we relate with him. That's why Paul taught it very clearly. Commune with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, which is Galatians 5, Romans 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, which we're going to break down and what does that mean? What do we do? Okay, third one, who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it quick, okay, no time. Holy Spirit is the presence of God in our midst. Where is God the Father? Where is God the Father? It's not your notes, this one. Okay. Where is God the Father? Before the very throne of God. Who is the presence of the living God here with us? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Of course, three in one. That means God the Father also in us and with us. But technically, it's the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to give you some more. Okay, say, then we're going to worship later because knowledge confuse. No, knowledge fail. Worship prevail. Next one. Yeah, next one. That's why baptism of the Holy Spirit came. No, the living God came and dwell in us. I give you an illustration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit next week. Next week, I'll tell you what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I want to talk about three works of the Holy Spirit next week. Regeneration, baptism, and communion. Okay. Fourth one. Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in our midst. Where is Jesus now? At the right hand of the Father. So technically, who is here with us? Holy Spirit. So when we see Jesus, who do we see? I don't know. I'm not going to answer. You answer. Okay, yeah, but the Bible talks about the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. That's the key, but the Holy Spirit is the presence of God and the presence of Christ in our midst. That is the key thing, okay. Name of the Holy Spirit, go too quickly. They are about, I'm going to give you four names and seven symbols, okay. There are much more, but I'm going to give you four vital ones. and the seven vital symbol. First one, Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Because all these names mean something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. His name is Holy Spirit. Basically means that one of his priorities is to bring holiness and purities to believers. That is the key thing. He wants to bring forth the holiness and the purity. So the first one is Holy Spirit. Second, Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Genesis 1, verse 2. These are all quite straightforward, so I'm going to give you some of these verses so that you can read on your own. Not just read, pray for revelations. Okay. Second name of the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. Genesis 1, verse 2. Genesis 1, verse 2. He's not the creation of God, okay? Don't get this confused. Neither is Jesus born of God the Father. They coexist. I can't find the word. No, they are not created by one another. They coexist from the beginning. Got it? So it's not that the Father kind of birthed Jesus. No, they exist. Neither is Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the extra of God the Father and Jesus. They coexist together. Got it? So the second one is Spirit of God. Genesis 1 verse 2. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11. The Spirit of God, what does that mean? That means the presence of God in our midst. Of course, He can highlight or He can magnify whether God the Father or certain attribute of God the Father or Jesus. That's the key thing. Right now, the Holy Spirit is preparing the church to yearn for the returning of the Son. That's the key thing. And He's leading the greatest prayer movement here on earth. Guess who is leading the greatest prayer movement in heaven? Jesus. Yeah, the key is on earth as it is in heaven. That will be powerful. Okay, so the third one, Spirit of Christ. Spirit of Christ. Okay, Romans 8 verse 9. When I run through the book of Romans, I explain clearer to you. Romans 8 verse 9. That means the presence of Jesus in our heart. And the presence of Jesus in our midst. Spirit of Christ. Fourth one. Whether it's comforter or helper. I'm trying to pronounce the word correctly. Parakletos. Yeah, parakletos is a Greek word. Okay. Comforter or helper. Basically means He come alongside with us to help us. I like the word advocate. That means He stands side by side with us, hold our hand to guide us, to direct us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Got it? Four primary names. Okay. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Comforter, Helper. Okay. Symbol. Give you seven symbol. Then I'm going to give you three response or application. Seven symbol. First one is water or living water. All symbolize something, okay? Living water. You know why water? Water is indispensable to man. You can don't eat for about 40 days. You know, some people fast for 90 days. You know, Koreans, sometimes they fast 90 days. They go Prayer Mountain, they fast 90 days. But if you don't drink water, stop short of supernatural, you die after 3 days. Yeah, that's why when we do Esther fast, we generally don't encourage people to go beyond 3 days unless really led by the Lord. We do one day, and then, very worried, you know. You know, got doctor in the house, you know. Yeah, no. See a little bit of vision. Is it vision or hallucination? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, water. That means, why symbol of water? That means Holy Spirit is indispensable to us. We need Holy Spirit as much as like water. Yeah, that's why there's this song, you know. There's this song that I forgot. You are the breath, you are the air I breathe, you are the living water or something like that. Yeah, it's like water, okay. Second symbol, fire. Okay, you can search it in the Bible. And fire is one of the much mentioned about. Okay, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to come again like fire before the end of the age. to purify the church. You know, Malachi chapter 3 is going to come like a refiner's fire. So fire primarily is three things. He purified and removed every impurities within us. You know, Malachi 3, verse 2 and 3. Second, he provides light and illumination so that we can see the things of God and the heart of God. Okay, that's Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Third one, he imparts zeal and passion. It's the fire in our heart. You know, Song 8, verse 6. Song 8, verse 6. Third one, wind. He comes like a wind. You know, you must understand, wind is a continual, no, we don't see wind. But wind moves. Sometimes strong wind, sometimes weak wind, we don't really see. In a way, it tells that, you know, we have no control of the Holy Spirit. We don't know what He's doing. We need to learn to be led by Him. But more importantly, when wind comes, it causes all the, stagnant and stifling air to be go away. When Holy Spirit comes like a wind, He blows away all the stagnant, stifling air of our heart and our spirit. He comes like a wind. That's a third one. Fourth one. I'm going to go quick. Fourth one. Oil. Basically, primarily, oil symbolizes power and anointing. But power and anointing is more than just for ministry, but also for us to walk victoriously. Fifth one. Rained. Rain primarily in the ancient day, especially essential for agriculture. Yeah, when Holy Spirit comes like rain, it brings forth fruitfulness in our life and our spirit. No, in our life, in our heart, as well as in our ministry, which is primarily John 15, where Jesus' emphasis is what? Bear fruit. But he's talking about if you abide in me and I in you. It's always about walking, abiding with the living God. Six, dove, talking about his nature. He's gentle, he's humble, he's meek. You know, I love the Spirit of God. You know? Yeah. Because he doesn't draw attention to himself. He draws attention primarily to the Father and to Jesus. Wow. Yeah, ultimate friends of the bridegroom, you know. So in a way, you know, when I think about some of this, I say, oh, the best friend of the position of the best friend of Jesus is taken already. The Holy Spirit. Second is not too bad too. Okay. So dove. The last one, seven, wine. Wine. Which bring gladness and joy. No, we need to touch that. Peter, just write this now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 talks about that. In Christ, there is that joy in us that is unspeakable. No, I'm not talking about Holy Spirit come, you laugh. That is still outward. I'm talking about that inward joy. No matter what happened, circumstances, bad, you lose a limb and so on, lost a job and so on, there is still that joy that is within you. That comes forth, the joy unspeakable. That is the key thing. Okay, final. Take me to Luke 11. Give you three response. Sarah, can you come? Three respond or three takeaway that is so important for us to apply because I don't want us to just have knowledge. Okay, three respond or three application on your own. First one is ask. Second is worship. Third one is talk. Got it? Ask. Worship. A-S-K. Ask. Yeah. Ask for more. Ask. Second, worship. Third one, talk. Because if He is God, let's worship Him on your own. Next week or the week after, I'm going to give you some steps. How do you do it on your own? Okay, we need to learn to worship the Holy Spirit. If He is a person, we need to learn to commune with Him. One of the primary ways of communing with the Spirit is talking to Him, praying. Not just praying in tongues, but also praying in words. Okay, again, I'll give you some keys and some steps along the way. He is able to reveal himself because he is real. It's us that we need to learn to be more and more in tune with the Holy Spirit. And that's where along the way, I'll teach you too, because a lot of time, so-called we are led by the Spirit, can be a lot of time by our emotion or feeling. The key is we need to die to our emotion and feeling. Because a lot, are you led by your feeling or are you led by the Spirit? Sometimes it's a very thin line. There are keys that we can do it. Turn me to Luke 11. Luke, I ran through that before, but I'm going to run through again. Yeah. Now, after hearing all this, ask. Luke chapter 11, Jesus primarily taught about prayer, but it's really in the context of asking for the Holy Spirit. You know, if after today you hear, oh, I really don't know him, what do you do? Ask. Pray. He said, I have quite a lot. Well, ask for more. There's no such thing as you have enough of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I like to find someone who have enough of the Holy Spirit, probably Jesus only. Yeah, but the key is ask. You know, it's a very powerful passage where Jesus used, you know, he used parable. Parable primarily is compare and contrast. He used two different persons as a compare and contrast, or rather contrast. Because first one is a friend, stingy friend, no? In the middle of the night, he's sleeping and so on. The neighbor who has a visitors who come, no bread. He has no bread to serve the visitor, so he come and knock. They say, hey, go and sleep. I'm going to sleep. It's midnight, I need tomorrow, I'm waking up to watch football, so don't disturb me, and so on. But basically using the illustration, unkind, unhelpful friend who you persist and ask, he will give. How much more God, who is extravagant in giving us, wouldn't he have given us? The second comparison, or rather contrast, is Father. Father is kind. He knows how to give us good gifts. If earthly father, no father is perfect. You know, we all have a little bit of evenness in us. You know, I just realized that. Sounds like I just realized that recently when I was doing this raising fund, they said, oh man, now I know. Luke 11 is so true. That evenness come out of my heart. If a father who is evil compared to God, know how earthly father is evil compared to my heavenly father, know how to give good gifts, how much more? He know how to give us. You know, I want to use that is because I know a lot of time we come to talk about Holy Spirit. There's this major issue called manifestation. Yeah. Some people focus too much on manifestation. Must have this, must have this, must laugh, must roll, must hit the wall left, right, center. You know, I don't want that kind. You know, that's kind of strange. You know, after I go hospital. Some so afraid of manifestation. When Holy Spirit come, why? Or I cry like a dog. Don't worry. He's a good God. He know what to give you. That's why I always say this. I use this illustration. If I got to bark to love God, if God knows that I got to bark to love God, I bark. But please, God, be merciful to me. So the key is don't focus on the manifestation. Focus on asking God the Father for the Spirit. He know what to give. Maybe some of us need to be humble. Or break some paradigm, you know. John Rimber said this, God offends the mind to reveal the heart. So he makes you bark a little bit to offend your mind. Okay, no, I'm not saying, I'm just giving illustrations. Okay. So I'm always saying, God, do it. You know, anything to have more of the Holy Spirit, more of love for you, do it. But if my opinions count, can I don't bark? I'm not saying, I'm just using illustration. I don't get there. I say one thing, ministry, advocate, the Holy Spirit come, we all will bark like a dog. No, I'm just giving an illustration. Just run too quickly. Then we're going to ask, we're going to worship, we're going to talk to the Holy Spirit. Luke 11 verse 5. It's in the context of asking for Holy Spirit in terms of prayer. He said this. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend? Now it's a contrast about a not so helpful, stingy friend. Compared to God as our friend. Don't you think God is kind? Is he kind? Oh, you have to know he's kind. Revelation. Okay. Is he extravagant? Yes. Yes. Okay, so it's a contrast. Okay, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves. Pay attention. He only asked for three loaves. Okay. Ask for three loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing. If you have nothing, what do you do? What do you do if you have nothing? You think you lack Holy Spirit. What do you do? Ask. Don't paisei. Okay, means don't be embarrassed. Don't be too shy. It's our local language. So, if you lack Holy Spirit, what do you do? What do you do? Oh, Singaporean, what do you do? More revelation. Okay. If you lack Holy Spirit, what do you do? Ask. This person said, I have nothing. That's why he went and knocked at the door. I mean, skin a bit thick, but it's okay. God doesn't mind that our skin is thick. Ask. If you lack nothing, ask. Don't be embarrassed. It's better to be honest than pretend. Oh, I have actually nothing. Ask. Next one, verse 7. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, for the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now, two reasons why eventually the friend changed his mind. Basically, give us the two reasons. If a unhelpful friend, if you apply these two reasons, he will reluctantly do it. How about a friend who is God, who is extravagant, who wants to bless us extravagantly? What will he do? He will do it. Verse 8 says this, I say to you, though he will not rise and say to him, now two reasons. Apply these two reasons to God as you ask the Holy Spirit. You know? That's why when I come before God, I'm super thick-skinned one. Don't need to be kind of shy. You know? Don't be shy. Okay? Because he is his friend. Are you God's friend? Yes. Because he is his friend. What's the second reason? Because of his thick skin. No, persistence. He keep asking. That's why the next two verses basically persist. Ask, you shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. If you feel that you have not enough, what do you do? Ask. Hasn't come after I pray 1 hour. Then how? Do it again. Do it again. I love that. No, Korean. Yeah. Maybe they are praying and they heard my bell. Yeah, we're asking now. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Listen to the end of verse 8. What did the friend respond? He only asked for how many loaves? Three. Listen to this verse. Give him as many as he needs. Simply because God is extravagant. Don't tell God, can I have three? Then God will say, you sure you want three? Okay, 2.5. Ask for as much as you can. Two reasons. God is our friend. He's extravagant. Secondly, persistence. Persistent. And then go to the last verse, verse 13. Verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? I tell you, this is a very powerful verse. How much more? Far surpass, way beyond, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask him. So ask. Say, I don't really know the Holy Spirit. Ask. Say, oh, help me, oh Father. Let me get to know the Holy Spirit. Ask. So three applications for you to take away. Ask, worship, talk. If it's a person, begin to talk to him. when you go home now, whether you drive or take, now can I say take taxi or so, you know, must take Grab or whatever. You drive, you walk, you take taxi, take train or whatever. Turn off your music. Switch off your phone. Talk to the Holy Spirit. That's what I do. That's why one of the great privilege, I don't drive, you know, that I walk to the train. And I talk, I pray, I talk to Him. Yeah. The more you talk to Him, the more He become real to you in your heart. That is the key thing. Can we do that? Okay, I'm going to ask Sarah to just lead us just a short time. If you need to go, go. We won't go beyond 10 minutes. What's the three applications? Ask. Second one, worship. Third one, talk. He's God. We need to begin to learn to worship Him. He's a person. We need to learn to relate with Him. Come. Just close your eyes. Just focus on the person of the Holy Spirit. Begin to worship Him.
Holy Spirit, we worship You.
Sing to Him. Worship Him.
We worship You.
Just a very simple line.
We worship You.
Worship the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, we worship You.
Now just lift up your voice. Sing in the Spirit for a while if you can.
We worship You.
As you sing in the Spirit, focus upon the person of the Holy Spirit. As you sing in the Spirit, worship Him, even as you worship Him in spirit. Let Him arise even within you. Out of the belly flows that living water. He is a person. He is the Lord God. Just lift up your voice, sing in the Spirit. Focus upon the person of the Holy Spirit. Do not fear, do not be inhibited. Now begin to sing again. We worship You, O Holy Spirit.
We worship You. We worship You.
Sing to Him.
We worship You. Holy Spirit, we worship You. We worship You. We worship You.
Just sing a line. Sing to a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. He is real. He is God.
We worship You.
You can lift up your hand if you want to. Let's not be inhibited.
We worship You. Holy Spirit, we worship You. We worship You. We worship You. Holy Spirit.
Now just talk to Him. You just let the music play. Talk to Him. Talk to the Spirit of the living God. He is a person. Just as we do talk to God the Father, we talk to Jesus too. Now talk to the Holy Spirit. Just talk to Him. Whatever that you want to tell Him, you love Him, you miss Him, you don't really know Him. Holy Spirit, we ask that, will You reveal a greater measure of Yourself even unto us? As a person, O God, that we may walk with You. We thank You that You are in this season. You are coming to help us. We want to learn to walk with You, be led by You, and to live in You, O God. So help us pour forth greater revelations. And I pray that You open up Your word even unto us as we search us even in the greater depth and measure of who You are. Let the word come so alive and mark our heart so that we will encounter again and again the living reality of the Holy Spirit. We love you, we worship you, we honor you. I pray even for greater revelation for everyone, even in this room, and more than that, in the body of Christ, that we begin to know Him as a person and learn to walk with Him. We bless you, Holy Spirit. We bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.